This week, WUWM's Latoya Dennis has been reporting about the fact that black babies in Wisconsin die at a higher rate than any other state in the country, according to the Centers for Disease Control. Depending on who you speak to, you'll get varying reasons as to why the black infant mortality rate here is so high. Some people point to health disparities among black women, while others point to racism. WUWM's Latoya Dennis spoke to two women of color, Star Twaddle, who identifies as black, and Sasha Barif, who identifies as Afro-Latina, about how they hope to help save the lives of more black women and babies by becoming midwives. Star says her journey in the field of birth work began with the trauma she endured after the birth of her first child.
It started when I had my own traumatic birth. My first child was born when I was 22, and I had a stroke during that labor. And yeah, I actually talked to my dad about that this morning, and he was like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot that. Yes, that did happen. And he was like, I wonder what that happened. You know, you weren't overweight, you weren't unhealthy, you really, really took care of yourself during that pregnancy. I can vividly remember going, grabbing my chest and saying, oh, my chest is really hurting. And the nurse basically patting me off and say, oh, you're fine. You just had a baby. It's good. You're going to hurt. And I was like, my chest shouldn't be here. The baby didn't come out of here. She came out of my vagina. You know, what's going on? And then the pain just got progressively worse. And I'm explaining this. I'm like, my chest, this feels like I'm dying. This feels like something's sitting on my chest. And no one even responded. I'm loud. I'm not, I've always been loud. I've always been vocal about things that I care about. And at that point, I'm caring about me, and no one paid attention to me. It wasn't until my daughter's father, who is white presenting, said, something's not right. This is not normal for her. Something's wrong. And then a nurse looks at the blood pressure monitor and goes, oh, whoa, something's happening. And somebody mentioned a stroke, and that was the last thing I remember. I was unconscious after that. So I didn't even get to hold my first child until, more than 24 hours after the birth, once my own issues were remedied. And after that, I was just like, there has to be a better way to give birth. And why were my concerns and my issues not addressed right then and there?
So tell me about your journey to becoming a midwife. Why did you decide that this was the path you wanted to take?
Because again, like I said, representation matters. When you're in a system where you are not represented, you feel as though, and the truth is that a lot of practitioners, a lot of birth workers, you're not their priority. You're not cared for in the same way. And when I started doing some research on studies that, compare families that moved here from Africa, what their birth outcomes were in the first generation versus the second generation. Just the fact of being black in America is such a huge physiological impact on your body and what happens in utero and what happens during pregnancy. I was like, something's gotta give. It's literally, the problem is racism, and the only way to fix that is to put people in a place in the birth world where they have authority. And those people are birth workers, midwives, doulas, people that have a direct impact. And if every person that's in that capacity is a white face, then we are not going to be represented. We are not going to be treated fairly. We have to kind of inundate the system. That's what we have to do. And so I said, once again, I'm fine being that person. I'm okay being a trailblazer. And however hard it's going to be, I'm willing to take that challenge because I don't want any more black women to die unnecessarily.
So tell me about the path to getting to this point. What schooling has it required? What would have been the requirements?
I'm working on a PhD right now. And so it was, once I decided to take this on, I looked at the process, and I actually talked to Sasha, and I was like, what do I do? Because you know everything. I know nothing, And so there were two processes. There was a process called MEEK, in which you have to do traditional schooling. It's a secondary degree, and you have to attend classes, you have a professor, and then there's the PEP program, which is basically a portfolio evaluation program. So both programs are, I think, pretty equally expensive, but neither of them are funded federally. So it's not like you can get a grant or scholarships unless you have somebody private doing that for you. The obvious process for me was PEP, because I don't have the capacity to do the program that I'm in, for my academic self and then this program. So the first part was observing births, and as a doula, I had observed many, so I kind of finished that pretty quickly. But then the next part of the process was finding a preceptor. So you have to find somebody who has already been a midwife for 3 years, I think, or done 50 births. And there were lots of them. However, I reached out to them for months and months. It was really a really long time. And I think I discussed with you that I'm a harasser. I can harass somebody and I can bribe them and lure them. And I talk to every midwife between here and Illinois where it is illegal to be a CPM. And no one even messaged me back until I heard from Andrea and Christy. And a large part of that is because they trusted Sasha and trusted her opinion of me and her knowledge of me and gave me a shot. When you think, okay, well, why aren't more people doing this process? Well, racism, because there's a lot, if every preceptor is white and there's a long line of people who want preceptors and most of them are white, the odds are that people who get through that part of the process are going to be white as well.
When we were messaging about this story, you talked about some of the typical black aids that people of color face when trying to enter this field. And I know that one of them is, for example, finding a preceptor, as you've spoken about. What are some of the others?
Access. A lot of people don't know that this program even exists. When I tell people about it, they're like, what? I didn't even know it exists. If it hadn't been for Sasha and me going, basically, I harassed her, and it kind of came out during that harassment that this program is. I didn't know, and I feel like I'm really, really involved in the birth world. This is my bread and butter. I've been doing this for 10 years, and I had no idea that the process existed. So knowledge about the process. Then you have access. There are financial barriers. Like I said, this program is still costing me. This is expensive, and if you don't have a job, I just happen to, be self-employed and could cut things off of my schedule and make this, work for my life. But for a lot of people, it's not feasible. They have to work full time, and it's almost impossible to work full time and to do this process. Every month that you're not getting the income that you're used to, every month that you're having to rely on support, whether it's for your children, care for your children, or just your own financial needs and basics, and it gets hard. It gets really hard. And a lot of people don't make it through the process just because of that.
All right, Sasha, we're moving over to you now. So when you look at the numbers when it comes to birth outcomes, in terms of black women and women of color in general, what do you think?
It's sickening. I get upset because it shouldn't be the way that it is. And it's had been for so long has been put on our shoulders of, because black women, have higher blood pressure or have these ails, that's why the birth outcomes are the way they are. But really it's implicit bias, it's racism. And so it's just really maddening. It's hard for me to even put it to words because it's disgusting. It's terrible. It shouldn't be this way.
So when you say it's implicit bias, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, sure, right? Because that's my job. there are people who say black women do have higher blood pressure. Black women are in higher ratios, overweight, right? Black women we have more health issues, right? That's what some people would tell you. So why is it that you're not going to see that present in birth outcomes?
So when it comes to blood pressures, yes, typically in pregnancy you see black women with higher blood pressures. When you look at epigenetics, we're looking at generations prior and the things that we've taken on, and now these are part of who we are, right? The having to deal with the everyday stresses of, racism and things that have been put on us, it kind of turns into that, or, being overweight, right? We talk about food deserts being a thing and just being able to have access to decent foods and that, our nutrition, one of the simplest things that we can do in midwifery is offering people help with taking care of themselves by way of nutrition. But when you have somebody in the middle of a food desert who doesn't have access to that food, then of course we're going to see these higher things, these health problems. So Yeah, I mean, it all really boils down to racism.
So basically, it's the racism in the larger society, right. Not necessarily in the medical field. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it really all boils down to that. I had a conversation earlier with a friend who was talking about, you know, neighborhood groups on Facebook, and she's like, you know, it's just disgusting, people moving into certain areas and, you know, calling the cops on my cousin's friend who's coming over for Thanksgiving, and they post about it in this Facebook group, hey guys, there's a person in a red car, black person, just sitting out front. Okay, well, what's the problem? Well, they're just sitting there, they look suspicious, so just so you know. Again, having to really just always be aware of where you are, what you're doing, and that, you know, calling the cops on somebody, that's dangerous to us. We know that, right? But just every day having to walk through life with that on our shoulders, on our plate, like, that's a really tough place to be in, and it just trickles over. And then we come into pregnancy, and knowing when we go into, say, the OB's office, the doctor, the midwife's office, that everyone holds some sort of bias, prejudice, you know, and those things are put at us. And whether it's on purpose or not, it's still there and we still shoulder that.
So how do you think that you, as a woman of color, can and will do things differently?
Right. So client walks in, I'm not going to ask them, you know, oh, can we change your diet to kale every day and, you know, go and buy $20 vitamins and you need to cook this and do this and, you know, I mean, really just meeting people where they are first and foremost and saying, hey, look, I know that, like, what are your basic needs and how can we meet those things? You know, and just really understanding where people are coming from. I can't say that I'm going to know that in every situation, right? But, like, just really just kind of getting down to the nitty gritty of, like, what are your basic needs right now and how can I help you get there? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's huge. And it's just, you know, it's different than, I feel like, what most physicians or, you know, other people are going to do. And having somebody who does look like you and understand your walk of life, walking out the door, it's a different experience than what someone else is going to experience.
What's your ultimate goal?
I would really like to find a central location in Milwaukee. In the areas that are really of need. And off the top of my head, it's 53206-208. There's a couple other in there. There's at least three more area codes, but somewhere in there of having a birth center that's really centered around people of color, birthing people of color, and being able to teach out of that space, teach other doulas, lactation consultants, having a community center, a community garden, all of the things that, like, are really important and just kind of, like, you know, and I feel like in the world of midwifery, again, we talk about it being very white, right? These are just normal things I feel like most people are just okay with. They have some community, they have, you know, they're not in food deserts most often. Just pulling those things together and just really the full spectrum of care that I feel like we deserve. And, you know, when we're talking about people of color, we're not all, you know, low income, low resource, you know, but just really wrapping our arms around everyone and, like, just having our space where we don't feel othered, it would be really awesome. And that's the space that I really, really want to create.